Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa, that's Kick-Ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Good morning. It is Thursday, and I am watching the most gorgeous vista. It's kind of funny. The Okanagan, where I live, is typically really, really hot this time of year, and we've been sort of really, I suppose, enjoying a very different weather pattern over the last few weeks. And there's these amazing clouds. It looks like they're rolling down the hills. And there's still blue sky, but it's very scattered and the sun is hidden behind a cloud. So as I'm sitting out here on my deck, you can probably hear the water lapping up the on the shoreline just behind me. I'm just mesmerized by how beautiful it is and how the sort of the wonders of nature. Last night I was sitting out here looking at the stars, and here I am now, these clouds rolling down the hills. And as I sat here and I pushed record, I was kind of contemplative what I wanted to chat to you about today. And of course, I want to start with gratitudes. I'm so grateful for you all and grateful for these last few months. Although I've been busy with the move, you know, and we've done a number of programs, and of course down in Belize, I feel very, very blessed to live this life. But when I look back into the sort of archives of this life, of this kick-ass life, I realize that what stands up above all other things, you know, like if you imagine a landscape of sunflowers, like you see in France, you know, and if you haven't seen, you can go online and imagine a landscape, and there's thousands or millions of sunflowers. And every now and again you see, you know, these ones that have outgrown or stick out, they sort of stand up above the rest by a good foot or 2 feet. And they're sort of everywhere. But there's millions and millions of very sort of normal size. And then there's these ones that jut out. And as I sort of look through the landscape of my life and I ask some questions of, you know, what allows a person to create a kick-ass life. And even when you're not having the best of days, or you're having a crappy moment, or, you know, there's life jumps in the way, or you're really stressed or busy. I mean, those things all happen still. It's not like those things don't occur. They absolutely occur. But the question is then, what is this common denominator as I look and view through this landscape of life? And what I find is it's quite often the mistakes or the big lessons that have steered the direction of my life. And the things that I've done that I'm not necessarily proud of, or things I've done that have become some of my funniest stories on stage, especially, you know, and certainly the stories that connect me most to an audience. It's not the success when I'm on stage, if I'm in front of a live audience or a new audience. It's never the success. It's not like, you know, you just... you know, that you sort of stand up there and say, well, I did this, I did that. The audience is going to fall asleep, start throwing tomatoes at you. But it's the other part. It's the challenges and the obstacles and the things that I've had to overcome, or the mistakes I've made that make me so much more relatable, I suppose. You know, and I was just in Belize and I was sharing stories about, you know, stealing cars and what a terrible car thief I was. But when I sort of think back to, I think the first time I ever stole anything was at kindergarten. I remember it was a horse and there was a sort of an animal scene. And stealing was a very, very big part of my life for a lot of my life. And again, that's something I'm proud of. It's not something I'm saying that everyone should do. But at different times in my life, it was a survival mechanism. Where I would actually have to go out, and there's a plane going overhead, by the way. I'm sitting out on the deck, so again, if the sound, if you're, like, there's a lapping of the waves and then the plane, so But anyway, so looking at that, you know, that part, and looking at the things that I've done that really weren't great to other people, or the lies that I told, or being in jail. I remember, you know, when the police burst the door open and handcuffed me and threw me in the back of a car and really attempted to intimidate me to confess to the crimes that I had committed. I just was a very, very good liar at this time. But, you know, I look at that and I look at the sort of the life that I led, and I look at the life that my children lead, and there's a lot of there's a book out called Happier by Tal Ben-Shahar, and it's a New York Times bestseller, and in one of the chapters he calls it the underprivilege of privilege. He says, when challenged children, like adults, will find meaning in their accomplishments and enjoy the process of attaining their goals, the underprivileged of privilege can explain to some extent why in this culture of relative plenty, levels of depression are on the rise, and why depression is hitting at a younger age than ever before. Life for many young people has quite literally been too easy. Struggles and hardships and challenges are a necessary component of an emotionally rich life. There are no easy shortcuts to happiness. I find that fascinating. That and by the way, it's a great book, Happier, by Tal Ben-Shahar, PhD. And you know, this we've been sort of studying a lot on happiness recently. We just did a show on it. Those five key things that we talked about in Belize, at Mind, Body, Spirit, and practiced on a daily basis. You know, again, when I look through the room, I often will poll a room and say, look, all of you that have told a lie, raise up your hand. You know, and the whole, everyone's hand goes up. Anyone who's stolen, raise up your hand, including taxes. I always add that in case you've got these people that didn't. Everyone's hand goes up. You know, and yet we sit in such high judgment of other people. Yet for most of us, we've made really big mistakes, or we've made, you know, maybe we cheated on a partner. I mean, I cheated on a partner when I was younger. You know, again, not proud of these things, but I realize when I look at these the sunflower field and I see it standing up there of a lesson, something that you carry or I carry with me as a lesson, a level of experience, a sense of wisdom in regards to that lesson and the hurt it caused, and you know, what led to being in that position. And again, you know, the some of the business mistakes, some of the, again, I could go through, and I don't want to make this all about me. I really want it to be about us. And so as you sort of delve through your own archives of life and you start to look at the things that you're not most proud of, and maybe the things you hide away, because I'm a great believer in transparency is the greatest power. When there's nothing hidden within you, there's the you know, when someone can look right through you and you're completely transparent. In other words, it's not like you have to go around telling everyone everything all the time. But if it's relevant, and certainly even if you don't talk about it, but you remember it in a way of, yeah, you know, this is part of the wisdom I carry. This is part of the life lesson. This is part of the road the roads I've taken that have led me to this moment of understanding and compassion and lack of judgment of others. Because that's really where I find what it allows me the most, is when people make mistakes, I am not quick to judge. I find myself just going, oh, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. And it doesn't matter how big the mistake is. I mean, some people, and now people, if they make the mistake and a week later they're doing the same thing, and a week after that they're doing the same thing, you know, that's a completely different beast that I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, when you do something in your life that you're extremely ashamed of, maybe, or you decide you have to hide, which I did for most of my life. I hid who I was because I didn't really like who I was, but I, you know, there was just so many things that had gone on in this journey that while it was going on, and for many, many years, I didn't realize the power those things held. I didn't realize the immense power that I had within me with these experiences, the immense understanding, the immense sense of of kind of, I'm sort of struggling with the word there, but this immense sense of compassion, that's the word I'm looking for you know, the journey called life. You know, we get up, and today, you know, I mean, when I read that article there, I'm thinking about my own boys. They are privileged. You know, we my son Ben is, you know, comes from the island where he got his diving, his open water paddy course, you know, which is quite expensive. And you know, comes here, and he's going to be out on the lake this weekend, out on a boat, you know, skipping around on the back of an inner tube. Yeah, great life in some ways, or is it? And so, you know, I look at the separation with him and his mom and I, and I look at, again, one of these big sunflowers standing up above the crowd. You know, that was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, was to go up to my friends and say, look, I'm separating from my wife, especially a few of my friends who have really great marriages. The idea of in my own mind feeling like I failed and feeling like I, you know, I had to somehow justify the fact that we weren't happy together, and really staying for a number of years after I knew that we should probably not be together, because we weren't making each other happy, and she deserved to be happy, and so did I. But again, these constant sunflowers on the landscape of my life, and so I wonder, you know, as you're sitting there right now in your kick-ass life sort of practitioner, whether you honor those sunflowers standing up in your own fields, the things you've done, the mistakes you've made, the things you've said, the things maybe you've stolen, the hurts you've created, maybe even the devastation, accidents, maybe you had an accident where you hurt somebody, or even somebody lost a life. You know, all these different things that, as I look back through the landscape, and I realize that, you know, I've often say that I've never grown from a picnic. And I've always grown from these wonderful occurrences that have allowed me to delve into my own, I suppose, inner greatness. Because, you know, without those mistakes, who was it? Albert Einstein, I think he said, a person who never made a mistake never tried anything new. And it comes down to that as well, you know, because I think that a lot of us get stuck in that comfort zone because of the fear of making more mistakes, the fear of things not working out, the fear of them being a catastrophe, the fear of failure. Whereas, you know, in essence, the story we tell later on, and that's what I look back at now, is that how many of these magnificent stories I have that I've called on so many times in my trainings that just sort of pop out. And I watch the audience breathe a sigh of relief when I start talking about, you know, the journey and where some of the things I had to endure and some of the things I did. And it's almost like giving them permission to be human, which I know sounds crazy. So, you know, I think that as we look at these then, as kick-ass like practitioners today, I mean, obviously I'm in a very reflective mode, and I really wasn't sure of what are we going to talk about this morning as I push record. I just had this deep sense that, of this beauty of this beauty of the mistakes that I've made, and again, are they mistakes? In the time, with everything I knew at the time, for some of them, they weren't necessarily. They were just things I tried. I tried so many things, and that didn't go well, that, you know, allowed me to create the courage to try anything. Now, you know, we just have to say it. Yep. And if I love the idea of it, yeah, let's do it. You know, without any sort of fear of what will people say if. That doesn't occur in my mind anymore. But only because that muscle is so hardened to the point where, you know, I'm not living for the approval of others anyway. But I'm also kind enough to myself to say, well, let's just go and enjoy it. And if it doesn't work out, so what? So I think there's certainly for me, when I'm looking at the... I'm looking at the idea of a kick-ass life practitioner, and we don't often talk about this piece. We don't often discuss this idea that, you know, the mistakes we've made are okay. And actually the freedom of sharing them. And again, I'm not asking you to go out and talk to every single person, but if there's stuff that you're hiding, I believe that's imagine a picture of a beautiful, clean heart, you know, shining bright, and that's your heart. Ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. And the everything we hide would shade a small part of the heart. So imagine coloring it in with a dark pencil. So that the more things that we lay hidden, the more things we're ashamed of, the more things that we can't discuss openly, the more shades of darkness lay above on our heart, to the point where these have to remain hidden. So then what do we have to do when we hide something? We have to fake something. We have to, it's like putting a mask on in front as if it hasn't occurred, which again steals the authenticity piece, which I think is so critically important, is to step into a level of authenticity in life where we show up as we are with all of our beautiful mistakes and all of our errors and all of our failures and all of our joys and triumphs and all of our wins. But they're all there and mixed in the pot together. And I love that idea of these beautiful failures, they're luscious and delicious that we've made these mistakes. We've taken these paths, you know, and, you know, I talk about, you know, when I was growing up, you know, doing drugs and to the point where every time I met any of my friends, everyone was just rolling up a joint, you know, and again, so what? You know, I don't do drugs today, but that's a choice that I make. But when I see other people do, instead of judgment, I understand that it could be a cycle of their life where they're going to be sitting where I am one day, looking back, saying, "Yeah, you know, I was caught up in that quite a lot." And today, as I look back and I realize what I learned from that time, and if I hadn't have got into that sort of place in my life of the drugs and the alcohol when I did, I probably wouldn't have left England and I probably wouldn't be sitting on this deck right now. I would probably still be a painter, painting houses, or a window cleaner, cleaning windows, or a chimney sweeping chimneys, because that's really what I was doing. With no real clear vision of the world or what was possible, no one ever sat me down and said, "Guess what? You can have whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, with whomever you want, in any country you want. You can have the life of your absolute dreams if you want it. It's there waiting for you. You just have to step into it." No one ever said that to me. No one ever gave me permission to think those thoughts. You know, I grew up in a survival and struggle kind of a world, and so that was really more about, you know, the language around, "Oh, you know, he's got a good job and, you know, he's making pretty good money and he's lucky," you know. That was kind of more of the mindset of just get a job, work hard, never to really open up this sort of the dream door. And so again, as I think about that, or visualize in your mind right now, a field of these beautiful sunflowers. Just so close your eyes. If you're driving, it's going to be harder, but you should try it. See how crazy you get. I'm kidding. Stop it. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, quick. But pull over and just shut your eyes for a second and picture a field of sunflowers, and then picture... and watch them emerge as you sort of go back through the annals of your life. And remember, for some of us, I talk about drugs and stealing and all. For some of us, those aren't on your landscape at all. You didn't lead that kind of life. For you, the immensity of maybe lying to someone you love, or depending on your faith or anything else, your sunflowers may not be the big ones that you're hiding from, may not be these mammoth things. They could be tiny things where you feel ashamed or you feel embarrassed or you feel like you've let somebody down. So don't get caught up on, "Oh, I haven't done anything like that." Just get caught up on, are you completely clean, transparent? If I was to look through you and I could see everything that you've ever done in your life, good, bad, indifferent, but if I saw all the bad things, would they be visible, and would they be transparent as well? In other words, would they be not hidden? And I see a lot of people do that with kids. Now, again, I'm not a parenting expert at all, but I know when I'm on stage and I'm telling stories like this, like in Belize last week, my kids know everything that's gone on in my life. I mean, they just know. I mean, we don't dwell on it, but certainly I hope that they can learn from it. I mean, there's a great quote. Who was the guy? It was, I think it was Roy Williams. He said, a smart man makes a mistake and learns from it and never makes that mistake again. But a wise man finds a smart man and learns from him how to avoid the mistake altogether. And of course, you know, we want to have the mistakes anyway. So I'm not saying you should avoid them all. But certainly, I'm hoping that because of the transparency factor, that my sons can see that, it's not hidden. So it's not this forbidden place where I always find that if I tell my kids not to do something, they're going to do it because they want to test those waters. If I have no energy around it, like, for example, I'll give you an example of that, you know, drinking. In France and other places like that, you know, kids when they're little will sip wine, and if their dad's having a beer, they'll take a little chug. And I've always encouraged my kids to do that, and they don't. They won't do that. Dad, no, you know. But when they were younger, Ben especially, he always used to. He thought it was great that I could sit there and have a little sip of my wine or something like that. And I could tell he didn't like it. But neither of my kids. I mean, my son's 15 now. There's no energy around that anymore. He's not like waiting for the day he can drink. Because I'm saying, hey, Cal, do you want a little slug? no, Dad. He's like, you know. But if I said, look, you're not going to drink. You shouldn't drink. It's a bad thing. I guarantee that there's a part of him inside saying, just wait. I remember doing that when I was a young kid. My mom used to smoke, and we used to drive to London, which is about a 2-hour drive. And I always used to sit in the back, and she'd smoke in the front. And I remember sitting there, and she'd say, no, if you ever want to smoke, she said, you know, you just ask me, and I'm going to buy you 20 Capstan Full Strength, which are the strongest cigarettes you could buy. And I'm going to make you smoke each one after the other. He said, and then we're going to stop you doing that. So you don't never want to smoke because blah, blah, blah. But I remember sitting there as a kid thinking, one day I'm going to be driving to London smoking my own cigarettes, and she won't be able to stop me. I was going through my head, and that's exactly what I did. I remember, I mean, I was a heavy smoker back then. I can't imagine it because I'm an anti-smoker now, but I'm a heavy smoker, right? And but that was in my wisdom at the time was, this is what I want to do. I just want to grow up and be an adult and make my own choice and be able to smoke when I want, right? So again, as we're sort of looking at the lessons of the show then, and I have no idea. Oh, I'm at 21 minutes. Wow, that went fast. As I'm looking at the sort of the lessons of the show, I think it's that transparency factor to say, you know, how do we become completely transparent? How do we stand with all of the beauty of our journey, the good, the bad, the indifferent, where it's not necessarily on show the whole time, but it's certainly not hidden. And it's certainly something that you could bring up in conversation anywhere when people are talking. And certainly you can use it as a meter of your own judgment. Because I think that, you know, people who are in heavy judgment of themselves definitely are in heavy judgment of other people. People who are very critical of themselves are very, very critical of other people. So if you notice that you're in judgment of other people, and this is a great notice, is the judgment window. Are you in judgment of anyone for anything? And if so, what would happen if you were to work on that? What would happen if you were to stop and notice how often you judge yourself, and to allow yourself to step into a world without judgment? Because truly, if everyone's on their journey and everyone's at this very moment, you know, their life is a landscape of these sunflowers, and you can see some sunflowers in their field growing a little bigger, a little higher as they're living out some lesson for themselves, some part of their journey. Some mistake that they're going to make that later on they're going to sit back on and they're going to go, wow, I understand. I get it. I can't imagine the kind of trainer I would be if I hadn't lived this life. I often say there's nothing I would change, whether it's, you know, the abuse that we went through as kids and some of the other some of the horrific things that happened. By Western standards, it could have been pretty tough. But I wouldn't change any of that. I wouldn't. And then reading this article was really interesting, thinking, geez, you know, our kids today have this such an easy life. And there isn't those challenges and struggles as much anymore because we've created this world that's cocooned them and protected them. We're so afraid of them making their own mistakes, or so afraid of them, being snatched and all that, the rest of it. That, you know, quite often, I think parents are quite overprotective. And then you see the kids whose parents aren't, and you see there's a level of maturity and a level of understanding. There's a different thing going on in their minds. You can definitely see it. So then as we look out across each other's landscapes and the obvious things that are going on that maybe you don't like, or there's something that that irritates or something, what would happen if you look at that tall sunflower in their garden of experience, and instead of noticing it and noticing what's wrong with it, maybe notice how similar you've been throughout your own life, or how that one thing will at some point change, where, you know, that won't become like when they were occurring, those huge sunflowers. I didn't even think they were sunflowers. They were like big weeds. And that's how maybe many of us would think about it. You know, you got this beautiful garden of sunflowers, and we would say, well, these mistakes then would be like these, you know, these ugly weeds. And I don't think so. I think they're beautiful sunflowers. And equally, and even more prevalent, because again, if we go back to the premise that, you know, I've never learned anything from a picnic, that these become these great parts of my landscape, great parts of our landscape. And so as I sort of begin to wrap up the show and think about it, as I'm sitting here on this beautiful deck with the sun beating down on my face, and you can hear the boat just lapping against the waves, and the waves are just gently hitting the shore here. We have a big fire pit just to my right. And I'm sort of looking at this life that started, you know, so many years ago, and this journey of deceit and you know, and lying and stealing and cheating and all these different things, all these different mistakes, apparent mistakes that I had to go through to get here, to get to a place where I feel that I have an open heart and a depth of compassion for humanity, which I don't see very often. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have compassion, but I think not necessarily one without judgment. It's kind of a compassion, well, until we get you fixed. Yeah. But not as like this understanding of the journey itself. And, you know, there's that wonderful saying that I use a lot, and it's one of my favorite sayings. It's good to have an end to journey towards, but it's the journey that matters in the end. And truly, this journey called life is spectacular. It's spectacular. And some of you are in the middle of the stuff right now, middle of a crappy thing or a crappy job or a crappy relationship, whatever like that. But knowing that this will be one of your tall sunflowers that you'll look back on once you decide to completely live in a transparent world and an authentic world, where you completely show up. And when we do, I think that there's a common denominator throughout the journey for me personally anyway, and I can only talk for myself on this one, is, you know, the kindness factor, to be kind to myself in spite of some of the actions I've done, and to be kind to myself in spite, treat myself like I would treat a young son, or a young daughter, or a young brother, you know, who's going through something. Typically, you're not going to beat the crap out of them. I mean, I had parents like that, but you're not typically going to beat the crap out of them when they're in the midst of a mistake. You're going to attempt to counsel them. You're going to attempt to lead them in some way. So what would happen then if you lay there tonight or in your meditation today, which again, we know meditation plays a significant role in happiness, 5 or 10 minutes is to look through the landscape, see those tall sunflowers and give them a kiss in your mind. Embrace them. Embrace them as part of your own personal landscape, your own personal heritage, your own personal journey, that one day, even if today it doesn't make sense, one day you're going to look back. And you're going to be so glad that those sunflowers stand up above the sea of all the wonderful experiences and life in general, and the happy moments and the, you know, the laughter and the parties and all the other things that all the other sunflowers represent. The quiet moments, the intimacy, the lovers, all those wonderful things. And then there's those great, big, beautiful, thick sunflowers that stand so high above the rest, that we can choose to look at and with regret, or the wish that they weren't there, or shame or judgment, or we can just fall back in love with those moments, knowing that they will become, and I promise you this, they'll become such an important part of the landscape that in the end, they have such meaning and that will steer the direction of the choices you make only if we can accept them, that they're there. Only if we can fall in love with our own human follies and fall in love with our own way of having got to where we are right this in this moment. The journey, what does it take for you to get right here, right this moment? For some of you, you're sitting there thinking, I've never made a mistake. That's great. And if you're that person, awesome. Go make one. I challenge you. Go do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone and allow you to push the boundaries of that comfort zone, because so often those that have never made any mistakes, they're living in such a small box because they're so afraid to step out of that box and really articulate what's going on in their hearts or their, and I know that for, I have some people right now that are really good friends of mine that are very, very faith-based and terrified because they know that there's something within them right now that just longing to be expressed. But within the boundaries of their own particular doctrine, there is no space for that. So there's definitely a mask on. I'm talking about one particular friend right now who's I'm coaching with. There's definitely a mask on, a number of them. But there's a deep feeling of unhappiness. And I'm saying both. Have both. You don't have to give up on the beauty of faith. But sometimes we have to be able to step out of the self-imposed prisons of our thinking and our mind and the teachings of others to experience parts of our own humanity that I think will allow us to really truly live a kick-ass life. With that being said, I'm at the end of the hour. If you're enjoying the show, I will ask, I'll keep mentioning this in case you forget to do it, but maybe do it right now if you can. If you want to support the show, we're attempting to stay away from advertisers. So if you want to give a little donation, if you're enjoying it, you can go on thekickasslife.com. There's a little donate button there. And you give what you want, and if you can give regularly once a month or once every couple of months, that would be awesome. That just allows us to do more, and we really, really have some big goals and dreams for the show. And, you know, obviously they all cost money, and there's things that we'd like to do. I'd certainly like to get a couple more employees wrapped around this so that we can do more. But it's going to take a joint effort, and if it's valuable, then, you know, I don't mind asking. Or I can go the other route and I can just get a whole lot of advertisers. And then the show is going to change quite considerably. And certainly we've been approached by one advertising or one company that I really like what they do. So if you can, you know, rather than say, I'll do it later, maybe do it now. And I will definitely see you on the other side. And I can see your sunflowers and they're gorgeous.
That was kick-ass.